counting on it, right? We need that grace in our lives. I'm sure glad Peter put that in there. Can you imagine that this was a typical greeting that would have been in a letter in Peter's time? Because we just don't have the time, or we don't take the time to write like that these days, do we? In an email or even in a letter. I don't know if anybody writes letters anymore, but emails or texts is how we do it. And we start off our emails with, hey, how's it going? Or what's up? Dear mom, right? Etc. But Peter knew that this letter was needed, and he knew I had to catch them right off the hop. He had to do something that would have stirred something in their hearts. Here's what he says. Let me continue. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow that suffering. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but serving you. When they spoke of the things that I have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Whew. Isn't that interesting? Right? Even angels long to look into these things that we're experiencing. Right? We're made in the image of God, aren't we? Right? It doesn't say that angels were. It says that man was. And they long to look into these things that we get to experience. Because today, there's no better day to be a believer. Because we're living in the times that Christ's life actually comes into us. Right? And we've gone through trials, right? Temptations. We've gone through hardships, tribulations, hurt, depression, anxiety. It maybe looks a little different today, right? But we've gone through them. They have come, he says, so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, and gold perishes, though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Right? When you go through hurt and you go through suffering and you come on the other side and you've now discovered God is faithful, right? He will carry you through. Does it not deepen your faith? Right? God knows, Jesus knows that we're not going to marry someone that we don't trust, right? Tracy didn't marry me on a whim, although I duped her a little bit by my wit and my charm, right? But she had to get to know me before she was going to say yes. And God understands that. So we have all kinds of opportunities. That's why I say there really are no problems in our life. I hope that we can see them as opportunities. Problems as opportunities for God to prove his faithfulness to you again and again and again and again. Amen? And it isn't always answered maybe in the way that we would like it or in the timing, right? But it's always in the best way, isn't it? Because he sees your beginning and your end and everything in between, and he's asking you to trust that he can see it better than you, right? Our job is to trust and to believe him in the midst of the hurt and the pain and the suffering that are usually caused by others, right? Sometimes we cause it for ourselves, right? We create more for ourselves. But usually where we struggle is when others put that on us. And they put it on us and we struggle with it. Okay. Did you know that your faith is worth far more than anything material that you can have or ever get? That's what Peter is saying. The life that you have in Christ, the Holy Spirit in you, I can't even put a price tag on it. It's worth so much, more than anything this world could offer you. That's what Peter's saying. There's nothing this world can give to you that he has done for you and given you for free. This world just, it won't satisfy you. Have you noticed that yet? Now, we continue to do it at different stages of our life, right? Different season, I could admit that, right? But it just doesn't last, does it? It just does not last. And Peter mentions that a little bit later. It is a faith that comes from Christ himself. It's nothing you can muster up in your own strengths. It has to come from Jesus. God put this in you when you came to him. Right? He put it in you. And the power of the Holy Spirit came in. The moment that you said, Jesus, do you think you would come and live in me? Would you come into my life? I remember I was in Peru, and I was speaking in this one place, and this young police officer, he was listening, and I went off of my notes because I just felt the Lord leading me a certain direction. And he come up to me after, and he said, Chad, I've done a lot. I've had a translator, of course. I've done a lot of horrible things in my life, really, really, really bad things, things I'm too ashamed to even mention to you. But you talked about this Jesus who could forgive me from all these horrible things that I did. Is it really true? I've done some very, very bad things. Could it really be true? And to my joy, I said, yes, it is true. That he came to do all this for you and for me. And without it, we can't operate properly in this world. We needed the shedding of his blood. I want you to think of the Holy Spirit as like the eyes and the ears. The Holy Spirit is like the eyes and the ears, right? So, do our eyes generate light or receive light? It's to receive, right? Do our ears generate sound or receive sound? So this morning, my ears generated sound. I was getting ready. My body's sore and tired. And you ever had that? And it's, it's how light, how, but, and it's not right, right? I don't like it when it generates sound. Right? And the Holy Spirit allows us to receive the work of God. Right? His life, his power. Right? So the Holy Spirit are like the eyes and the ears of faith. Faith is like an organ of the Holy Spirit, if I could put it that way. It's like the eyes and the ears. It's all meant to receive. Everything in us is meant to receive, right? How God made us. Do our taste buds generate taste or receive? Receive. You see, if we just think about it, God made us. He put us together, and he's going to teach us a little bit about himself in just looking at ourselves because we're made in his image. Everything in us is meant to receive. So we need the Holy Spirit, and that's why Peter is emphasizing this point, that what you have has so much value that there's no price tag that this world could put on it. I want us this morning to understand the value of what we have received. I'm overcome by it as I even sit here and talk to you about it. It's so rich. It's so pure. Because he lives. And what I have, I can now face tomorrow. Right? Because he lives and what I have, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. And life is now worth the living. It has worth because of me or him. Because he, right? It's nothing you can muster up. You need the Holy Spirit. When it comes down to it, it really is the only thing that makes us different from the non-Christian. If we just break it down, it's what separates us, right? It sets us apart. Our faith is in him. Society's faith is in other things, isn't it? It's in other things. Peter here is again appealing to his readers that their faith is far more precious than giving it up to make their neighbors feel more comfortable. Right? Because what they were following was so new, it was making them uncomfortable. And then they used the excuse, you're angering our gods. Well, good. I hope I anger them into submission because they're not real anyway. There is only one God. So Peter's encouraging them, make your neighbors feel uncomfortable. And it may be found resulting in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus comes. It's our choice, amen? It's our choice. I'll tell you the story. There's so much that happened in getting Tracy and I into a house. Right? There's so much that had to happen. There were so many moving parts, so many miracles that needed to happen. Right? I didn't know what the end result was going to be, but I'll tell you now, my end result is praising, glorifying, and honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? So isn't that the result, right, when God brings you through? Now, if we had more time, I would like to talk a little about, because in Hebrews, yeah, but what about when I haven't seen God's faithfulness yet? I'm still waiting to see it through. You might be in that awkward stage of limbo where I'm still working it through. And that's okay, isn't it? It's okay. Because God knows the perfect timing. And in Hebrews 10 to 12, in that chapter, the author of Hebrews talks about, and then there were the others. Those who trusted and put their faith in God to be received in their lifetime, but it wasn't. But they still believed in Jesus. And it says the world is not worthy of them, for they still chose to believe, even though they didn't receive in their lifetime. Whew. Tough, right? But they still chose to believe. Isn't that the goal for the Christian at the end of the day? Because that's all we have at the end. We have to trust. I can't always see ahead, right? Sometimes we can when he lets us, but I can't always see ahead because that's because God has the bird's eye view. If he wanted us to know, then they would have been allowed, right? The tree of the knowledge of knowing good and bad, right? Right at the beginning of time. We wanted to know. But God says, I don't want you to know. Don't eat from that tree about what's good. I want you to eat from the tree of life. Eat from that as much as you want. Because he didn't want us to know good and evil. He wanted us to know life. And what does that mean? I am the way, the truth, and the, I am the resurrection and the life. Know me. Know me so you can learn that you can trust me. And then when I prove myself trustworthy to you, you'll have no problem marrying me. Because we are the bride. I know it's weird for me to say that. And it does feel a little weird. And he is the bridegroom. And he will prove himself faithful to you. Okay. Amen. I better stop there. We have communion to do today. And so I think Jeremy was going to come up and do a song. And we're going to, I'll ask you to form a line, but as we take communion today, I want us to think about this as Peter shares, right? Right in the first chapters, right? You've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. I want you to think about that as you take the bread and the cup today, that you have been chosen, that he chose you. That he chose Larry and Darlene before the beginning of time. He knew they were going to receive him. And this young couple over here with this beautiful child. Right? He foreknew. I want you to think about that. Through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, he set you apart. Right? He obviously knew that you would have a heart that would receive. He set you apart for the work of the Spirit so you could be obedient to Christ, sprinkled with his blood. His blood. Not an animal's blood. His blood did it once and for all of mankind. Amen? We don't have to go through the grueling process anymore. So Paul writes, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks for that bread, he broke it and said, this bread is my body, which is for you. This bread represents my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As if we could forget him. But we do. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Right? Peter mentions the sprinkling of his blood. It was very important for his Jewish readers to understand that. This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For when you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen? Let me pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, God. We repeat these traditions, Lord. Once a month we have the communion. But Lord, I never want to just do it from my lips. I want it to be heart service to you from your Spirit. And Lord, we just want to all say together as a family that we're so grateful that we understand, God, what you did. And we understand what we have in us today. We have something so valuable, and it came at a great price. And we get to live in this peace, grace and peace, be in abundance to you. It can only be in abundance to us, Jesus, because of what you did. And we all recognize that today. We recognize what you have done, what you are doing in through us, and what you'll continue to do for the rest of eternity. We just want to say, God, we recognize that. It's not just lip service to us, Lord. It comes from within us. We are grateful that I get to live freely today because of you, not because of me. Because you made us right. You made us righteous because of what you did. I'm so grateful, Lord, that we don't have to take an unblemished animal, bring it to sacrifice, and do this year after year after year, that your blood was enough. Your blood gave us life. life in all of its abundance. We have grace and peace and abundance because of you. So thank you, Lord, for letting your body be broken. Thank you for allowing your blood to be shed so that we could have life. We recognize that today. And we just want to say thank you because it's the best that we have to say in our language. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Please just come and form a line, and I'd love to serve you today. Spotty, brother. Thank you. Take two, it's a double. Lindsay.